Welcome to Ministry Focus Podcast with Chad and all. This is the place where we talk real and we live Jesus. Chapter number 23 this morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
You do know we serve a holy God. Job chapter number 23. When you find your place there, say amen.
Amen.
We'll begin reading in verse number 1 this morning. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge." Let us pray. Father God, at this time, Lord, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. Oh God, we're unworthy this morning to even stand before you. Father, but because of your Son Jesus, because of the grace and the mercy in which has been poured out to each and every one of your believers, oh God, we have the right, based on his merit, Father, to stand before you even here this morning. Oh God, I pray, Father, you would speak to our hearts. Oh God, I pray, Father, that you would remove anything to do with me this morning. Father, do not let me preach opinion, Lord God. Do not allow me to get in the flesh whatsoever, Lord God. Let this message be about you, through you, because of you, and for your people. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. His name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Let's go back and revisit verse 4 and number 5. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Wow. In verse number 3, Job says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Powerful scripture. Before we can understand the dilemma that Job is in here in chapter 23, we have to go back to the previous chapter. Job was consulted, he has consulted his friends concerning a time of testing and trial. Listen, Job's in a bad place. We know, the majority of us know the story of Job. He's lost everything. He's even lost his health at this point. He is in a bad situation. And Job does what any red-blooded human would do. We go to our friends. And so Job goes to his friends and he begins to consult his friends. And one of his friends is assuming that Job is God's enemy. But God is not Job's enemy. You know, that's kind of an attitude that still exists today in our world. Can I say that type of attitude is a deterrent from preaching and reaching with the gospel? Men are sinners. This should be clear. This should be clear. But God today is not at enmity with the world. God is reconciled to this world by His Son, Jesus Christ. So you or I, we do not have to do anything to reconcile God to us because Christ has already taken care of that on the cross of Calvary. God is reconciled and has His arms stretched open wide this morning, even right now this morning, to a lost and dying world. And this is what He's saying. You can come to me, but you must come my way. You must come my way. You must come by the one who told you, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." That's the one you must come by. His name is Jesus, in case you don't know this morning. The Word of God says that if you come His way, then you can come boldly into His presence. Wow. God will meet you with a loving welcome and an abundance of blessing. That's the God we serve this morning. If you serve any other God than the God I just described, then you're serving the wrong God. Job's friend was not representing God accurately to Job. Neither is he any help or comfort to Job. And that's where we're at as we approach chapter 23. Job is struggling, and Job, he wants and he desires to come into God's presence and plead his case. So I want to preach around this thought this morning, the Christian's approach to God. The Christian's approach to God. If you'll look in your Bible, if you write in your Bible, if you take notes, there's some phrases I want you to underline, I want you to write down. It's important that you see these because we're going to explain these today as we go through the text. In verse number 3, I want you to notice the words, his seat. So if you underline, just underline, highlight, write down his seat. Can I say this morning we must observe this phrase? In verse number 4, I want you to also look at the word, the phrase, I would order my cause. I want you to underline that, highlight it, write it down. It's important. And then in verse number 4, I want you to also look at the phrase, fill my mouth with arguments. Do the same thing, highlight it, underline it, make note of it, because those are very important. Now let us make the phrases into points of application this morning. Because listen, I don't want to leave here this morning and say, boy, that preacher, he preached a good message, but I don't know how to use it this week. That's not why I'm here this morning. I can go home. Listen, I'm not here for me this morning. I'm telling you why, because I've studied this word, I've prayed over this word, and I've sought God over this word. I know how to approach him. I hope you do too. If you don't, you will before you leave here this morning. Amen? This is for you, right? This is for you to understand a holy God and what you are in his sight and who he is in your sight, hopefully. So first this morning, as we look at his seat, I want you to notice point number one this morning is the place of approach. The place of approach. So if you're going to approach God, you must approach the right place. Notice what it says, that I might come even to his seat. Job says, hey, listen, I know where he is, and I want to get to his seat. In other words, I want to go to the very throne of God. It's important that we understand the seat of throne of Jehovah God is in the heaven of heavens. Can I say this morning, he is infinitely above anything else in creation. That's where his throne is. Matter of fact, he's even there right now. Amen. That's where he's at. We should have three views of the seat of God. Three views of the throne of God. The first view should be its magnificence. Its magnificence. Because it is magnificent. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, listen to what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can I say the very throne that God sits on is a magnificent? It's magnificent. It is absolutely perfect. It is beautiful. It is glorious. It is so glorious. The angels that surround the throne of God must cover their very eyes. That's how holy my God is. That's how holy your God is. That is the very seat that Job says, I desire to be before God in that place. In that place. It's a place of magnificence. It is beautiful. It is absolutely wonderful. And it says this whole earth is full of his glory. Listen, I don't serve a God that's dead. I don't serve a God that was buried and didn't get up. I don't serve a God that just shows up on Sunday morning. I serve a God that shows up anytime I need him. He's always with me. He said he would never leave me nor forsake me. And that is the very throne that I want to approach this morning. How about you? Hey, listen, I don't care what the world's doing. I don't care what the news is saying. I don't care what's going on in Washington. None of that is, we should be oblivious to that stuff because we serve a holy God. And listen, we're not desiring to get to the White House. We're desiring to get to the very seat, the very throne of God. Because that's where Job says he needs to be at so God will hear his arguments. Job's in a bad place. And you know what? Many of us have walked in the door this morning in a bad place. Struggling with fear and struggling with anxiety. There's folks that's tuning in online right now. Listen, they're obviously in fear. Yeah. They need to approach God the same way we do, sitting here this morning in the same place, in his seat, in his place, in his throne. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26 and 28 says, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Listen, we must understand this morning the throne of God is more than we can ever imagine. Amen. We must understand how wonderful He is and how beautiful this place is, the place that He judges us from, the place that He demands our loyalty and our honesty and our integrity as Christians. Job says, this is the place I want to go because of its magnificence. It's a place of purity, absolute purity. God dwells in the holiest of all. The purity is such that the heavens appear as unclean before Him. Can you imagine that? Even the very heavens appear unclean before a holy God. Justice and judgment are the habitation of His throne. The cherubim, the seraphim, they cry continuously, "Holy, holy, holy." You know, I believe He looks down upon His church and don't see holy. I believe He looks down upon His people and He doesn't see holy. The very angels in heaven are crying continually around His throne, "Holy, holy, holy," because He is holy. Now the magnificence may overwhelm us and the purity of it fill us with terror as guilty sinners before Him. Considering the throne or the seat, as we see in Scripture this morning, "Lord, what shall earth and ashes do? We would adore our Maker too. From sin and dust to Thee we cry, the great, the holy, and the high." Shouldn't that be the very terms on our lips this morning? Amen. Sometime in our recent history and in the days that we live, we have left the idea that God is a holy God and that we need Him. And we've taken this thought process that God needs us. Can I tell you this morning, a holy God does not need you. He doesn't need you. We need Him and all of His purity. Amen. That's a word that's been lost, is it not? Yeah. It's been lost. Purity's been lost. This is also a throne. This seat is a seat of graciousness. It is a throne of grace. So now here we come to God through Jesus Christ, the propitiatory substitute. He literally took my place on the cross. And now I come to this throne through the person and through the work of Christ. God can be just and yet the justifier of the ungodly. So I must understand this morning, this should never be forgotten in my prayer. As a throne of grace, the sinner may approach, the unworthy may draw near, they may obtain mercy and find grace to help. This is the place I'm talking about this morning. Job understood this. Job understood how holy God was. Job didn't point the finger and say, "God, why'd you do this to me?" Job says, I just want to get before a holy God because I know He's right, I know He's just, and I want to plead my case. Amen. I want to plead my case. Boy, what a way to approach. There's another feature connected with the seat of God, and that's number two, the manner of approach. We understand where to approach. We understand that we go to the very throne of God. We go to the seat of God. Job says, "Hey, look, listen, I would order my cause. I would order my cause." In presenting our cause before the Lord, we must not forget, listen to me this morning, these are important, we must not forget our utter unworthiness. We must understand that we are absolutely unworthy to stand before God. Listen, that's a proper perspective. And when the Christian forgets that that is the perspective they should place themselves in, they lose humility and they don't understand the holiness of God. Why y'all going down there to the altar? No. Let me tell you something. You ought to be able to, you ought to feel guilty to even drag yourself to an altar because of the holiness of God, because of who He is and what He's accomplished for us. Job, in one place, confessed that he was vile. Should we not all feel this way? You know, King David felt this way, for David said in Psalm 143, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Listen, I cannot be justified on my own works, my own merits. There is no way that I may approach God in my sin. That is the need, and that is the reason why Jesus Christ, His Son, He came and lived an absolute, perfect, blameless life, that He would go to a cross and He would die for my sin, that I may approach God, that I may find myself worthy to even stand in the throne room, that I may approach Him in a way that is bold. Because I am an unworthy individual this morning, as you are. God is so good to us. We should always be aware of our nothingness and our sinfulness before God. In ordering our cause, we must respect this, because it puts us in the proper perspective to meet with God. Listen, if I don't approach God in humility before God, then I'm telling God that, I'm higher than I should be. Can I tell you this morning? You and I are blessed. We are blessed to even be able to approach God. It cracks me up today in modern day church how we're doing God a favor because we show up at service. We're doing God a favor because we come to the prayer service. We're doing God a favor because we show up at youth group or Sunday school. We're doing God a favor. Hey, I'm just doing God a favor because I showed up. Can I tell you, listen, if you understand what you are and where you came from, you ought to drag yourself in here every time you have the opportunity. Because it is a privilege to be able to come into the house of God and meet with a holy God. And let me tell you, who has no problem allowing you to meet with Him because of what was given for you. Because if He refuses to meet with you and you put your faith and your trust in His Son Jesus Christ, it says that what His Son Jesus did on the cross was not good enough, and God is not that God. God testified of what His Son did. We also should be able to come in the manner of and spirit of true sincerity. Listen, this is an ingredient that's missing in our Christian lives today. True sincerity and brokenness. We should meet with God in a way that is complete and utterly sincere. God knows you. He knows the very thoughts and the very intentions in your heart. You can't fool God. You can fool me. You don't need to, but you can. But you cannot fool God. God knows you. He knows what's in your very heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you did yesterday, what you said this morning. God knows you. And for you to approach the throne of God in not all sincerity, it's in vain. God is a spirit. We must say what the psalmist said, "Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any way of wickedness in me, and lead me into the way everlasting." God understands who you are. He knows you. So why not say, "Search me"? He already has. Why not be honest and sincere with God? God, you know who I am. You know what I've done. Be sincere with God. The God of creation knows when we are sincere or insincere. We should approach God in all sincerity. If we approach realizing our unworthiness in all sincerity, then we must be, listen to this, in submission and obedience to His will. If you're going to approach God with humbleness, you're going to approach God in all unworthiness, and you're going to approach Him in true sincerity, then you better be ready to hear what He has to say and operate in obedience and in faith. Because let me tell you, God demands that. We may express our darkness. We may express our helplessness and our misery. I don't know about you. I had a miserable week. But I knew who to take it to.
Amen.
Right, I knew exactly who to take it to. We may call upon God to hear us, to help us, and to deliver us. But after all, we must lie completely in His hand. We must understand that outside of God, we are absolutely nothing and we can do nothing. So if I'm going to go to God for deliverance, if I'm going to go to God for help, if I'm going to go to God in my time of misery, I must lay in the palm of His hands and allow what He has to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, must be all right with me. So what does that mean? That means I don't take the baton back and say, no, I got it now, God. I feel pretty good today. Amen. Because I don't know about you, I'm good at that. Mm-hmm. We have to be satisfied that what He does is what's best for us. Sometimes the misery is what's best for us. Sometimes the heartache is what's best for us. Sometimes that helplessness that we feel, that may be what's best for us in that moment. Because God is using that as a teacher. God is using that as a time of trial to help us grow and to help us get to the next level. You've heard the phrase many times, new levels bring new devils. Because it's true. Do you think you're going to live for God and not be persecuted? Do you really think you're going to live from God and just live a glorious life here on this earth? It's just not going to happen if you're truly living for God. Because begin off with, the Lord Jesus Christ says that we must deny ourselves. And if I'm going to deny myself, then hey, the things that I want may be not what I go after. Because if I want that over there and it's going to pull me away from the cross over here, then I think I need to deny myself. And I must be willing to lay prostrate in a holy God's hands and accept whatever He gives me and whatever He does for me and know that that moment in that time is exactly what I need. Who wants a bad doctor's report? I don't. Who wants bad financial situations? I don't. Who wants prodigal children? I don't. Who wants misery? Who wants helplessness? Who wants it? Nobody wants those things. But God allows those things so that you will depend on Him and know how holy He truly is. So for us to approach God in any other manner is in vain. Is in vain. Number three this morning. Let's notice Job's the mode of pleading. The mode of pleading. Look what Job says. He says, I would fill my mouth with arguments. Now God leaves His people to plead before Him. Listen, this is a fervent wrestling in the spirit. He will not and He cannot despise. If you come to God, as I've told you this morning, if you'll come to God in humility, if you'll come to God knowing how unworthy you are, if you'll come to God in those ways, God will not reject you. He will hear you. God cannot despise that. But God does, let me tell you, God will despise pride. God does despise checking a box. Now lay me down to sleep. Check the box. Is that really meeting with a holy God? Hey, for children, that's perfect. Teaches them how to pray. But as an adult, don't be caught saying, now lay me down to sleep. Meet with God. Go to God in all humility. There are many arguments which we may plead before God. There is the argument of His universal goodness. God is good to all. And His tender mercies blesses all His creations. Listen, He clothes the grass. He feeds the raven. He causes His showers to fall upon the ground of the wicked. That's hard for us. God, I'm living for You. God, I'm praying for You. God, I'm serving You. God, I'm studying Your Word. God, I am in full fellowship with You. And I am not getting ahead, but them sorry, wicked, no good heathen down the street, they getting blessed every which way they turn. Why? Because His rain falls on them just like it falls on you. Understand that. Understand that this morning. If God will do these things, how much will He bless His own children? Listen, we are the objects of His love. Amen. So you see, there's an argument for universal goodness. There's also an argument of His obligations and His promises. Now, the obligations of God, they relate to keeping of His saints, to the preservation. God wants us to persevere. God is going to keep you until the day. Man, isn't that beautiful? If you think about it, God gives each of us what we need for our good. God will hear our cries. God will deliver us from our enemies. God will supply our needs. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Man, these are powerful arguments for the Christian this morning. These are powerful arguments. Hath the Lord spoken and shall he not perform? Hath he said it and will he not bring it to pass? The Lord has spoken some amazing things into your life. Things that you've not even realized yet. He's left them all documented on the pages of Scripture. The promises that we have as a Christian. Listen, I couldn't even name them this morning. They're so numerous. And we walk around complaining and we walk around murmuring and gossiping and all the things that go. Listen, that is not somebody who understands the blessing of God. That's not somebody who understands the blessing of God. The only thing you have to be negative about is that Jesus hasn't come back yet.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Let the rest of it go. Let it go. It is doing you no good. Think about the time that you spend every day. Listen, let's get honest this morning. God knows our hearts. I've already told him to search all of our hearts this morning. Before you got here this morning, God, search their hearts. Search their hearts, God. Search their hearts. Let them know who you are. Listen, God knows. Imagine if the things that came out of your mouth every day that were negative and complaining and gossiping, all the things that go, listen, don't say you don't do it because we all do it. Listen, imagine if they were all positive and if they were all about what God has done for us and if they were all about Scripture and if they were all about the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine the testimony that each one of us could have if everything that come out of our mouth was something of holiness, something of Scripture, something of something so beautiful as Jesus Christ? Can you imagine? Can you only imagine what our testimony would be? You realize that's what God has ordained for us to do? He ordained us unto good works. It's what he desires for us. There's the argument of his past loving kindness. Should we not plead what he has done for us? Should we not plead for what he's done? God has been our help from the time we were born. He was our benefactor through youth. He protected us and he got us here. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Some of us, that was hard work. What has he not done for us? Ask yourself that question this morning. What has God not done for me? Man, what has he not done for me? How richly and how freely has he blessed us? We shouldn't forget his past loving kindness, his tolerance of our sin. And what I mean by tolerance is God doesn't tolerate sin, but God forgives sin. And if you ask me, that's tolerance. Based on the work of his son, Jesus Christ. Outside of that, there is no forgiveness. We should plead it with gratitude. We should infer believing from it. His power and his willingness to help us. Man, what a God we serve.
Amen.
What a God we serve. There's the argument of his work within us. Listen, our desires for his presence and favor, they arise from the motions of his spirit that is within our hearts. The very Holy Spirit, if you're saved this morning, if you're born again, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God was deposited into you. And the Spirit that is in you should make some emotions arise in you to want to praise Him and to want to shout for Him and to want to live for Him and want to serve Him and want to talk about Him and worship Him and pray with Him and study about Him. All those things should be arose from the inside of us, so much so that you say to yourself, man, I can't get over God. I can't get over this. What he's done for me. But what begins to happen in our Christian life is we get jaded. The world gets a hold of us and it beats on us and it knocks us down and it hurts us and our feelings get hurt. We come to church and church people get mean. They're mean to me and they talk about me and they didn't speak to me today and man, they didn't shake my hand today and man, you know, all these things begin to happen and what begins to happen to us is we forget about the Spirit of God that should be inside of us, dwelling up this living water to praise him and to shout for him and to live for him and to serve him. And we find an excuse not to sign up.
That's right.
We find an excuse not to serve this year. I did it every year. So what? Get over yourself. Really? Are you kidding me? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you, you no good, dirty, rotten sinner. That should be the attitude. I get to serve Him. I get to sign up. I get to plead the blood. I get to praise Him because of the Spirit of God that's in me. It springs something up in me that makes me want to serve Him. No matter the cost. I mean, really? Think about it. I hope this is a point of conviction for many of you. Because I can tell you something, I've seen the sign-up list. I hope it hits you right where you're at. Because I'm going to tell you something. Shame on you. Shame on you. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it right there. You know who you are. Every one of you know who you are. All the opportunity we have for these children. All the opportunity we have to serve a lost and dying world. And you have the gall to come in here and sit under the preaching of God's Word. To come in here and praise and sing and not want to serve Him and not want to do anything for Him. Shame on you. The preaching's been in vain. It's been in vain. The serving's been in vain. Shame on you. Shame on you. How dare you look at God, a holy God, and say, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to give for your cause. I'm not going to speak truth about you. Shame on you. Shame on you. The work within us. Think about the advocacy of His Son. The argument for the... Jesus Christ is sitting there right now making intercession for you. Because He loves you. And for you to say, I'm not going to serve Him. Shame on you. We have an advocate with our Father. That is there to plead our case. Our case. My case. Job understood this. Job understood that the only place his argument was going to really be understood was in the face of God. Man will never understand you. They will never accept you for who you really are. But God will. And He does. So I want to urge each of you this morning that are truly anxious seekers of Christ. Listen, go to the seat of God. Go to the throne of God. He waits to save. He's ready to pardon. Here's the Christian's true resource in times of trouble. You know what we should imitate? We should imitate Job and say, oh, that I knew where I might find Him. Then go to His seat. Cast your burden upon Him. Because let me tell you something. How truly wretched is a prayerless state? How truly wretched is that place to where God will not hear you?
Thank you for listening to Ministry Focus Podcast with Chad Nall, the place where we talk real and live Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week as we focus on another area of ministry in the local church.